35, verse 16 to 29, which is the end of the chapter. Then they move on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdol Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons, the sons of Leah: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob; Simeon; Levi; Judah; Issachar; and Zebulun. The son of Rachel: Joseph and Benjamin. The son of Rachel's mid-servant: Bilhah, Dan, and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's maidservant: Zilpah, Gad, and Asher. There were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
I don't know whether you agree with this survey to talk about a lot of young people these days are very worried. The survey said they worry about the future, whether they can find a job or not, whether they can afford a home. And they worry about the environment. Some of them worry about terrorist attacks. Well, I don't think there's just young people worrying about this. I think adults, we also have a lot of worries. How do you handle your life's worries? Are you discouraged about the future? And what happens if you are worried? Well, the Bible gives us a very consistent answer, solution to this. The Lord will not lift you out from all the worries, but Lord, always, the Bible always encourages us to hope in the Lord. There's no other way but just trust and obey, hope in the Lord. Why? Because the Bible is very consistent on that. Because the Lord is good, and He is powerful, He is almighty. Hence, we can just hope in the Lord. In today's text we just read, we might not see that the sentence, "hope in the Lord," that jumped to us. But if you imagine, the life of Jacob is a journey. And here, the text that Sharon just read is talk about three episodes in this journey. And through this journey, we can sense God's presence, even though it's not obvious, but it's there. I just want to give you a very brief summary because of the time limit. And the first episode is at Ephraim. Here, you see the death of Rachel, but you can also see the birth of Benjamin. Death is a terrible thing. It's a sad event. And here, Rachel, is the dearest wife of Jacob, had died. Yet even at Rachel's death, the scripture says, through the midwives, it says, do not be afraid, or don't despair. Even at death, God is comforting Rachel. It says, do not afraid, do not despair. Because through this death, this sad event, God bring forth, along his grace and mercy, the child that Rachel always wanted. It's Benjamin. Remember, Rachel is the wife who always being despised, mocked at the, yo, you are barren, you cannot have child. So finally, God gave her Joseph. And then Rachel says, Joseph, I'm going to name him Joseph because I want God to give me more. Joseph, the name Joseph means more, add to it. So at Rachel's death, actually is an answer to her prayer. And God used Rachel's prayer at her death to complete the 12 tribes of Israel. Benjamin was the key person to complete the 12 tribes of Israel. And Benjamin is also used by God to eventually discipline the remaining sons of Israel. You know, so you heard, probably you remember the story that Joseph, the brother of Benjamin, they are the two sons of Rachel. Jacob favored these two sons because they are given birth by Rachel, his dearest wife. And then the brothers were, remaining brother was jealous of him, and they sold him to Egypt. And then by this unfortunate event, but God used Joseph to preserve the family of Jacob through the famine. And then how Joseph eventually gained power, and then the brothers go to buy food, and then Joseph was have a fun time playing with this his brother. You know, bring your brother, Benjamin, to me. Otherwise, I will not sell you any food. You know, you cannot come. You know, so this is a very important story, Benjamin. So anyway, to make a long story short, even at death, we see that God have his plan. Our life and death are in the good hands of God. Remember that. Even in the face of death, God's grace and mercy shows forth from this story. And then the second story is at Medell. And Medell is another example of human sin. Reuben's incest and his disqualification from leadership. Reuben's shameful act is an incest. He dishonored his father. The Bibles have very short account. You know, he just says Reuben slept with his father's concubine, Bella. And then Israel heard about it. Jacob heard about it. Some of you will wonder, hey, this is a serious sin. Does God going to punish him? It doesn't say that God punished anything in this passage. No punishment? But let me clarify this a little bit of the background. Reuben defiled his stepmother, Bilhah, is more motivated by politics than by lust. First of all, by defiling Bilhah, he prevented Bilhah, after Rachel's death, will not surpass Leah as the chief wife, because Bilhah was the chief wife, is the maidservant of Rachel. And second, by taking his father's concubine, he is just attempting to seize the leadership of the family. However, even though in this passage, God did not pronounce judgment, but ultimately, God pronounced judgment on Reuben via an oracle at Jacob's death. You know, when Jacob or Israel come to his death, he blessed, he gathered all his children around his bedside and give the oracle of each one of them. To Reuben, he says, God speaking through Jacob, he says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in order, excelling in power, but turbulence as the waters, you will no longer excel, for you went up into your father's bed, unto my couch, and defiled it. God knows about it. God pronounced a moral judgment, and because of what Reuben did, he is disbarred from the leadership of the family. Because although he is the firstborn, he should be the leader of the family. But because of this action, God barred Reuben from the leadership. Similarly, for the secondborn and the thirdborn is Simeon and Levi. If you look at the 12 sons of Jacob, the sons of Leah is Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Simeon and Levi, we remember, committed violence against the Shechemites. These two brothers are the ones that who slaughtered the Shechemites. They tricked them into undergoing circumcision, and then Simeon and Levi went ahead after they have done the circumcision and slaughter all the male in the family. So these two are also disbarred from the family leadership. Hence, the leadership fall upon Judah. Judah is the one that Jacob pronounced that the scepters will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he who to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. You know, out of the descendants of Judah comes King David. Out of King David is the descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ. Judah have the honor to be the ancestors of our Lord Jesus. So therefore, this simple act have great long-term influence, consequence. And it's reminding us that our future is secure because justice will be upheld by our moral, righteous, and almighty God. Today we look around in the world. Maybe things happen, injustice, violence everywhere, but God is in control. God knows. And finally, at Hebron, death and burial of Isaac by Jacob and Esau, his sons. Isaac, in spite of his shortcomings, dies at an old age and is gathered to his father, Abraham. Isaac served God by passing on the faith to the next generation, Israel. And the meaning of one's life is whether we have fulfilled God's purpose in our life. You see, Isaac served God. Isaac have, in the later age, he's have a lot of shortcomings. He cared for his food better than caring for the will of God. But despite all this, Isaac have completed his journey by passing the faith to his son, Jacob, or Israel. In Acts 13, when the Apostle Paul talked about King David, he says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." He said, King David did one thing. He served his God throughout his lifetime, and then he fell asleep. And I think this is says a lot. This speaks a volume about how we should live. It's whether in our lifetime we have served God. Many of you says, why am I on earth? Why? We sometimes question, why are we on earth? Well, the Bible is very clear. Whether you live your purpose on earth is whether you have served God. To many of us, maybe one of our main purpose is to bring up our children in faith. It's pass on from generation to generation. Or maybe some of you is to lead someone to Christ. God wants you to bring someone to Christ. So go back to our first question. How do we face tomorrow? How do we handle our worries? The question in the Bible is always hope in the Lord. Let me finish today's sermon by quoting on Isaiah 40. Just listen to it slowly and hear what the scripture is telling us all along, from page one to the last page. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by our God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understandings no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let us pray. Lord, our God, you are almighty. You are righteous, and you are everlasting. You will not grow weary because you are good and you are faithful. So, Lord, as we live our life, looking around, we see uncertainties. We have worries. But let us be reminded that we always have to come back to you. Our hope is in you. You are our strong tower of refuge. Help us to trust and obey in you. Thank you, Lord. You are good. You are faithful. You are everlasting.